I believe that we receive. God has done for us and we can receive from that, but that should not produce an entitled attitude in us. It should produce a thankful attitude in us. Can you say amen? Amen. And so we live in a society, though, that basically has this expectation that everybody ought to do everything for them. And I will tell you that other people owe you, can anybody finish that sentence? They owe you nothing. When you think about it, it's what I love about God in setting this precedence, it's one thing to be grateful, but let me say this. It's not like God takes an attitude with us and goes, you owe me. You hear me here? He doesn't take an attitude because of what he does. You owe me. He would hope that we would be grateful. How do I know that? Because when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't something that God gave, and as long as you do this, you can have this. No, it's a gift. Say gift. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. Grace is a gift. Mercy is a gift from God. While it's a gift, though, it shouldn't produce in us an attitude toward God that says, well, it's a gift, so I don't want to return anything back to you. You understand that God did that out of free will. God, he willed that. Christ willed that. Christ wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane with that free will he had. Anybody know that story? If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But he wrestled in the garden with giving us his life. And in wrestling with that, he ended with this. Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He had that willingness to yield himself to the Father's will rather than his own. Was Jesus entitled? I'm not saying did he have an attitude of entitlement, but was he entitled? Yeah. The Bible says that he didn't consider that being equal to God was robbery. That he was equal to God. He was God, but in human form. In human form, he is the one that comes to wrestle so that mankind might have the blessing that he had with the Father. How do I know that? Because ask anything in my name. We just got done singing a lot of songs about the name of Jesus. Ask anything in my name. According to what? The Father's will. And I will do it. God withholds nothing good from us. It's all whether or not we're asking according to the Father's will. And when we do, and God blesses us, he blesses us in marriage and in family, in friendship, in work, in resources. When he blesses us in all these ways, it is so, so important for us to have an attitude of thankfulness. Let me get my tongue untied there. Thankfulness. Say thankfulness. And so this series is titled, Thankful on Life's Journey. Thankful on Life's Journey. 2 Chronicles, put my glasses on and then I won't mess up like that. 2 Chronicles 5:13 in the New King James Version says this, indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one. That's what we were just doing basically. We didn't have a trumpet, but you get the instruments and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. They're kind of, you know, if you will, a part of one another. To thank God is to praise him. It's to express that appreciation and more than just, hey, thanks God, and you move on. But thanks God with all my being, right? With my mind, I think, as I express in worship and I'm singing the words. With my heart, there's a passion behind the words that I'm singing. And with my body, there's some, I don't know about you. I'm not a big clapper. Anybody else not a big clapper? And you got the ones that are, my wife's a big clapper. She'd right in there, and I'm kind of like, lighten up just a little for me. Come on, some of you in here thinking that, like, this person next to me just clapping too hard. Look, you got to express your worship to God, right? Be yourself, and it's important for the body to be themselves. I remember one time, we had a member in the church, and we have another member, and when I preach sometimes, he'll yell amen really, really loud. Anybody heard that amen before? Yeah, you're sitting there, I'm preaching, and that amen comes out, and you're kind of sitting in your seat, and you're like, whoa, what was that, you know? Because he'll let a loud and thunderous amen. And one of the other members are like, yeah, that really bothered me when it first started coming. And then the Lord showed me I needed to repent because that was an expression through that person that they were connecting with what's going on. And through that connection, they couldn't help but let out a loud and exuberant amen. Amen. And some of you don't. and it's okay. You know, I'm still going to prompt you because the Bible says that let the learned in the house say amen. And I, if I was to do by a show of hands, how many of you, you know, are saved, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, hands down. How many of you that are saved read your Bibles? Okay, how many of you have read the Bible before? How many of you have learned something from the Bible? If you hear me say something that you've learned from the Bible and you agree with it, that's where you say amen.
Amen.
And we'll have a whole lot of fun doing that, right? But let me say this too, for the introverts in the room. It's okay if you don't. God bless you. It's okay. Don't sit there and be judging your neighbor. He's like, amen. And they're like, oh. You're like, man, what's their problem? They're probably introverted. But I'll tell you this, when it comes to note-taking, I can tell the ones that don't say amen, man, they're like, okay, what was next? Like, don't go too fast, Pastor. I got to get that.
Amen.
You know, the Bible, who was that that said that? Yeah. The Bible actually shows that we're different. God's made us different. And that there's the expression of the body, right, has different manifestations. In other words, you have people that are going to be a little more quiet, and you have people that are going to be a little bit louder. But the mix of the two starts to manifest the fullness of who God is in his creation. Do you know the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God? Do you know that the Bible says, lift up your voices, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of, anybody? Triumph. So, is God quiet? Does he want us to be quiet? Or is he loud? Does he want us to be loud? Which one is it? All the above. And there's moments that we're impacted within services and within worship to where it brings something from us that looks like God this way or looks like God that way. And you know what? We have to be okay with that, amen? We need to be thankful. Listen to this. Praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Anybody know what that cloud was? The Bible actually teaches that it was the glory of the Lord, but not just any kind of glory. It's Shekinah glory. That it actually was a physical, you could see the cloud. I want to say that I know of two times that I've seen like a haze, like a cloud come into the room in the midst of a corporate worship service with believers. I will tell you one of them was when Angie and I lived in Ohio, and I think Wade was about 2 years old at that time. Do you remember that, Angie? I remember being in this worship service, and I remember, and when it says that the music, the musicians, there's an element, there's a reason why I say lift your voices, and I'm talking to you while the team is leading, and there's a, you know, it's like this horizontal conversation taking place to prompt all of us to go vertical as one. There's a reason for that, because God desires worship. And in that moment, it's not so much the individuality. It's understanding that Jesus is the head of the church. We are his church, his body. And there's a point where the head connects to the body. And the full manifestation of God's anointing and glory comes down on the church. Let me tell you that in those kind of meetings are places where instantaneous miracles can take place. I've seen it. I've watched in worship like that. But let me say, that's not the team needs to do this. The body needs to do this. It's that we all, in concert, need to worship to the audience of one. So we have to worship to the audience of one. We must become one voice, instruments and voice alike. And let me say, the number one instrument for those playing instruments, music, and those using their voice, their vocals, if you will. Let me say this, the number one instrument to be played in the midst of worship. Can anybody tell me? It's the heart, the bass. See, we're not as one. It's the heart. It's the heart. And you know, watch, you know the difference we're singing. And you know the moment where the Holy Spirit starts playing the strings of your heart. When you start to be drawn in. And when no person is left out, but all become one in a room. And that's what that worship was like that time. Wade was about 2 years old. And Angie and I were standing there. We're all worshiping. And Wade's like just standing down here, you know, way down by my knee. And I'll never forget, I see like this haze coming in across the stage area. Just moved in. And then you could tell as it was like it began to just move. I can't explain it to you. It was miraculous in that sense that I'm like, whoa, what is, like, am I seeing right? And as I felt the Shekinah, that weighty presence of God just start to set down, well, so did my kid. And a two-year-old begins to weep. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, oh, mommy, I want to leave. Mommy, I'm hungry, you know? It's, and he doesn't know why he's crying. Neither did I know why. I mean, I knew, but I didn't know. It's like, wow, what is going on right now? And I'll never forget us sitting there. And I remember, Wade, so the stage was across there. Let's say if it was this stage, and off to the right, there's nothing there. There's a bunch of, back then, you had a bunch of plants and stuff that they put on stages. There's a bunch of plants off to the right. I remember Wade there beside me, and I mean, we could all feel the presence of God. And I'll never forget him pointing. He's pointing over to the far right of the stage. Nothing over there. And he's pointing, and he looks up at me and says, Daddy Jesus, like that. And I will never forget, man, when that moment happened, I'm like, you know, why? Because I didn't see him. The Bible says we must become like children to inherit the kingdom of God. And I got to tell you that there's something about worship that brings, as we enter in, there's something that we can't help ourselves when we sense the presence of God to move us to a place of gratitude, thankfulness, to be thankful, not focused on, well, I don't have this right now and I need this right now and this is going on in my life right now. And that's who, when God's presence comes, I don't care about anything else but being in his presence. Anybody? So we need more of God's presence. Can you say amen? And I believe it'll produce a thankfulness in our own heart. I don't know about you, but I want to experience the cloud of God's presence, the Shekinah glory, and it takes a unity for that. So that means we need to be thankful on life's journey. Now, we got to deal with some of the issues, and the first thing I'd like to say is that when it comes to being thankful, usually it's associated with getting something, you know, being showered with gifts and expressing appreciation in a moment. And I want to tell you that it goes much deeper than a moment. It actually is an attitude or an attribute, if you will. So first, thankfulness is an attribute. Thankfulness is an attribute. It's not just a moment of expression, but it's an attitude or an attribute. An attribute, a quality or feature regarded as a characteristic or inherent part of something or someone. It's not the external thing that happens, it's the internal thing that happens. The Spirit of God, when you are born again and the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of you, there's an expression that he starts to manifest in an inherent way that says, you know, I may not like what's going on right now, but God, in the midst of this difficult situation, I am thankful that you are my God, and I know that you're for me, not against me, that God, you go before me and you're my rear guard. I have nothing to fear. What do you have to fear if the Lord is on your side? Absolutely nothing, right? And so we want to connect with that attribute of thankfulness, not just a moment of thankfulness. So how do we deal with, if you will, the attitude or attribute, making sure we're building that characteristic first? Don't be unthankful. Just don't be unthankful. It's like, well, it's not that simple. Actually, it is. You make a choice. Do you have free will? If you've got free will, you can make a choice. Look, you make a choice to be unthankful or you make a choice to be thankful, right? And you can make a choice to be thankful in every situation. Don't be unthankful. 2 Timothy 3 says this, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. You want to know? I believe that all those things that are clumped together have a way of messing with that inherent nature that we are to have by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and being a born-again Christian. That we're supposed to be different than the world, isn't that right? We're not a subculture of the world. We are a counterculture to it. We're a counterculture because Christ is counter to worldliness. And when Christ has redeemed you from the curse of sin and death, and the Spirit of God dwells in you, you got to look just a little bit different. Some of you know this. How many of you ever seen me do the little bit different thing? Give me an amen if you've ever seen me do that. A few of you have. Good. Then you can help me do this. Are you ready? All right. I had a buddy of mine by the name of Greg Johnson, and he used to do this thing to where he would drive home that idea of being just a little bit different, right? And it goes like this. You ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm still not convinced. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, we're ready. We're ready. And it's this, just be just a little bit different. Just a little bit different. I want to put an action to it because ultimately you're not going to forget it. I want you to do this with me. Ready? So for you, you're going to go to your left. I'm going to go to my right. Ready? Just a little bit different. We did okay. You're like, man, I'm not doing that. Just do it. Being obedient to certain things requires some action, okay? Just a little bit different. Be just a little bit different. Be just a little bit different in your marriage. Be just a little bit different in your family as a parent or as a son or daughter. Be just a little bit different as a student. Be just a little bit different, as a boss. Be just a little bit different as, an employee. Be just a little bit different as a friend. Be just a little bit different to strangers. Just a little bit. All it takes is a little bit for people to recognize there's a whole lot of Jesus going on in the little bit of change that's taking place in your life. And when that starts to happen, let me say, when it has an impact on somebody else, they're like, hey, I've heard you talk about this. I've heard you talk about how you pray when things aren't going right in your life. Why do you pray when things are going wrong rather than getting frustrated? Because I'm thankful to God in both good and bad situations. Well, but why is that? I can tell you that the Bible has so many examples of that. Job, for instance, loses his family, loses everything he owns. It's burned up. It's torn up in tornadoes, so on and so forth. Lost all his kids. Lost his health. Was at the very bottom, and even his own wife said, just curse God and die, Job. And Job didn't. And all of that, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What was going on? Job had gratitude towards God for all that he had. And even when he had nothing, not any, even his health, and he's on the brink of death, Job still had one thing. And that was a thankfulness toward God and an understanding he could trust God with his life. Come on, somebody. So don't be unthankful. An unthankful attitude is repelling. Gosh, get my tongue untied here this morning. Repelling, and it's unattractive. Anybody ever encounter somebody with an unthankful attitude? Just like, man, I just got to get somewhere else, right? You might be married to it. They might be sitting right next to you. Huh? All right, let's not get that real this morning, right? We've all met someone like this. You give them something, and please and thank you seems like words they've never heard of. Kids and adults can show this unthankful attitude at so many turns in life. We've all seen people who were very ungrateful for the things, and of course leads to that kind of that entitlement mentality. To give you an illustration, anybody ever heard of the little boy who asked his mommy for an orange? Anybody ever heard that story? The little boy asks his mom for an orange. The mom gives him an orange, and she says, so what do you say? And he goes, peel it. Sometimes that's the way, it's like, we ask God, God gives us something, and it's like, well, can't you do this too? God, I'd like to sit back. Long time ago, I did a series, it was called, Are We a Battleship or Are We a Cruise Ship as the Church? A lot of people treat the church, treat their Christian life like being on a cruise ship. Come serve me. And I will tell you this, our Savior says, pick up your cross and follow me. And he said this, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And when you come to know Christ, there's something in you that has to have a gratitude that he was willing to serve you, and it should move you to be willing to serve others, not have an attitude of come serve me, amen? Build the attribute of thankfulness. Here's how we build the attribute of thankfulness. By choosing to be thankful. Choose to be thankful. Choose not to be unthankful, and choose to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. It's God's will for who? For me. For God's will for me to be thankful. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. No matter what I have to walk through in this life, the thing is I know my destination is eternity. And all I can say is that I have a whole lot of reason, no matter how difficult the mountain I'm climbing. Why? I have the reason of eternal life to always be thankful, to be like Job in my thankfulness. I don't know why I can't get that word out right. So let me illustrate. Build a habit of thankfulness by saying it. Build a habit of thankfulness by saying it. Say thank you to people. Say thank you to your wife. Say thank you to your husband. Say thank you to your parents. Say thank you to your kids. Find a way to integrate being thankful in everything that you do. Say thank you to your boss. You might literally cause your boss to pass out if you walk up and say thank you to him. Even though there's probably plenty of things your boss could do better, walk up and say, hey, I just wanted to, what can you say thank you for, right? Did you get your last paycheck, right? I want to thank you that, you know, I have a job here. That might be a good one to start. It's like, man, pastor, I'm not doing that. My job sucks. We've already dealt with that, right? Don't be unthankful. Let me say that thankfulness has a way of filling it, right? People have an attitude of the glass half empty or half full. Thankfulness has a way, gratitude has a way of filling your cup up, whereas ingratitude or an unthankful heart has a way of emptying it out. And let me say, marriage is a primary place. You spend more time, you do more work, you face more life's challenges than any other relationship you have is a husband and wife. And it can become a matter of expectation or entitlement. I can feel a sense of, well, you know, we're at this together, so you just need to do that and not be thankful to my wife. Have I ever been that way? Yeah. I go grocery shopping. The yard needs to be mowed. And I say, hey, I did the grocery shopping. Would you mow the yard? She goes, absolutely not. I'm like, well, it seems like you're very unthankful. Clean the house. Would you mow the grass? Nope, that's your job. How is that my job? Angie does something for me, and then I'm not, you know, thankful to her. Look, we grow together, and the number one place that's worked out is the person you're around the most, really. Because it's too easy for that to become common. Too easy for the sin of familiarity to enter into those relationships that you're closest to. That applies to everything. And let me say that when it begins to rob it there, it's less likely that you'll manifest it somewhere else. Work on it, you know, closest to you. So I wanted to share with you about teaching our kids. We would teach them to say thank you growing up. Isn't that right, Vanessa? You know, what do you say? Isn't that what it was? And if they said peel it, you know, I'm going to peel a layer of skin off your behind if you treat people that, you know. We would teach them to be thankful and grateful. And so my daughter, you guys know about the trip Angie and I took with our grandkids for the most part. And we took this trip with them for like nine nights or something like that. And you know, when you get to our age, there's a lot of energy expended on kids that are five, well, almost five, three, and like 20 months. That's a lot. Parents with kids, amen? I mean, it's never ending, right? It's go, 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 go. But the one thing I have to say is that we would talk about how, man, they're so, they just are so thankful for things. They have the manners that they have. Their parents are raising them right in that. Well, let me say that there's fulfillment, if you will, in that raising my own children, that they would go and raise their children, you know, with that kind of heart. But so much so that we go eat. And when we ate, they would say, thank you. Now watch, you know, we're trying to cut food up. You're doing, and you know, I'm a pastor. And in my four-year-old grandson, he'd go, we got to pray. I'd be like, oh, yeah, we do need to pray, right? Jesus, thank you for this food. Gratefulness, right? A thankful heart. And he would pray. Judah's prayers were a little bit shorter. And Bella was just like, amen. But there's something about that that just grips you, to see that being multiplied and see that in my children's children. There's just a blessing in that. Now, little Bella, She's got the thank you down, wouldn't you say, Angie? Because we had the, on this one drive, I've been handing Bella, how many of you know the barbecued, what is it, the Pringles? You know, I mean like Pringles, right? You can't just have one, right? The barbecued Pringles. And I'm handing, you know, because they, you know, they kind of mush up easy, and so Bella's eating those. And I'd hand her a Pringle, and she would, thank you, Papa. And I, you're welcome, Bella. Thank you, Papa. And she's eating it, and then, thank you, Papa. And I mean, a thousand times, thank you came out of that little girl's mouth. And everyone I handed to her, thank you, Papa, would come with about five more thank yous just for that one chip. Let me say that speak it. There's something about speaking it where it starts to become a part of you. And it's become a part of that little girl so much that Angie's like, okay, Bella, we get it. I'm like, don't hinder the girl's gratitude. I love seeing that. On life's journey, the next point, tell a thankful story. Tell a thankful story. I'm thankful to God that my children and my grandchildren are thankful. And I know that's because of living a life of thankfulness to God. Tell a story. Tell a thankful story. Number one, of God's goodness and love. Tell a thankful story in your life of God's goodness and love. Chronicles 16 and 34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Can you tell a thankful story of how God's love has endured to you? Write it down. Map your story on how you can express a thankfulness of what God has done for you, those around you, and tell of his enduring love in your story. Number two, if I get going too fast, somebody shout. Number two, tell a thankful story of God's marvelous works. Psalms 9 and 1, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will declare your marvelous works. The psalmist said it, I want to say it. See, there's something about his unending love when I see it in my grandchildren. And then the marvelous works that I see of salvation that didn't stop with Angie and I. It didn't stop with our kids, but now it's moving on. That's the way the gospel is. When it's shared appropriately, when they see that there's a genuine, wholehearted love for God, a dedication that what happens is they will follow. Parents, let me say this. My kids, though pastor's children, what they call PKs, and they love the Lord, they've not done everything right. No amens on that? Amen. But I will tell you this. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they grow old, they won't depart from it. I see that at work in my children all the time. And the Bible also says that we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling unto God. It's not so, I wish my kids, it's like, I'll work out your salvation for you. I can do this so much better than you. Right? No, they've got to work that out. You'll never have a genuine relationship with Christ unless you're working out your own salvation. And then number three, in closing, God's transcendent peace. God's transcendent peace. Tell a thankful story of God's transcendent peace. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Transcend, listen, beyond or above the range of normal or merely physical human experience. It's beyond our human ability that when we pray, God gives us the power to live a life of gratitude, of thankfulness, that it transcends our natural understanding to show gratefulness, a thankful heart in a situation where most people would be angry or resentful or bitter. It resembles your Savior. So, make sure you apply it. Go to God in prayer when there's things that you're facing and turn them over to him. A prayer of petition that it'll work for you to give you that anointing, that power that allows you to transcend the situation and honor God and glorify God with your behavior. Amen. I can remember times of stress and anxiety in my life where I haven't done that. And I can think about how the stress and the anxiety and the anger and the bitterness and all those things actually multiplied. And you know, it's only when I came to the point of like, this is what it is. And God, I am thankful that you're here and you work in my life. And so, Father, I release that to you. And Lord, I'm thankful for what I have. I'm not focused on what I don't have. I'm not focused on what somebody didn't do for me or how they didn't apologize or whatever it may be. But rather, Lord, I want to reflect your love to those around me. I want to reflect an attitude of gratitude. Because God, you could have judged me and you could have banished me to hell. And instead what you did is gave to me. When I was yet still a sinner, when all of us were yet still sinners, God gave his son to redeem us from that curse so that we could be like him, not so that we could continue in the same. Amen? Amen. Amen. And as I close this morning, listen, write this last point down. Make a choice to tell a thankful story on life's journey. Make the choice. Go back home this week and sit down and maybe take that as kind of a structure. And can you fill something in each of those areas, you know, that you're thankful for? And build just a small thankful story. Over the next few weeks, you're going to actually see some folks on video who've been sharing their story of what God's been doing in their life here at Gateway Church. They're going to tell their story and how God's been working in their life. They're going to show that gratitude of how God's been present in their life. And I would challenge us, as you see that, I'd love to capture every person in here's story of how God has worked in your life, and that we all could see the wonderful testimony story of gratitude of God's power and love working in our lives. Amen. Listen, this morning, will you stand to your feet as we sing this song? And I pray for you, and we go. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person in here this morning. I pray, Lord, for, again, marriages and families and friendships and Father, work and all the places we interact with other people. Because, God, those are the places that can draw, Father, an unthankfulness out of us. But, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit there would be such a manifestation of gratitude, Lord. And Father, it would be an attitude and an attribute that we pursue with everything that's in us, so that, Father, our life honors you and your sacrifice, all that you were willing to do, Father, for us. God, we thank you for the grace and your mercy and your love, God, and your truth that confronts us, that convicts us, that we know even today that we've heard whatever part of this message that has convicted us where we're not thankful with those around us, that God, we would make the choice to not be unthankful, but rather to be thankful to those that are around us. And more importantly, God, that we would be thankful towards you, God, in the great gift that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hey, sing.